want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 485, recorded live on February 8th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Heart Hat with
Scott Burks,
Task 427, and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our website to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Wow, yes. Well, I have to say right off, sorry about not having a show last week. I was dying. I got no other way of putting it. Death was at my door, or it sure felt like it.
You make a good corpse, Andy.
Thank you very much. My wife says the same thing. I don't get it. But
a very animated corpse.
Yes, exactly. That's what the wonder of a CGI. But yeah, I just had the migraine of migraines. I was out for literally 3 days. I had to cancel the GeoSnippets podcast because it was still going strong through the second day. So yeah, it was no fun. And then of course, if anybody who has had severe migraines knows, it's not like it turns off a switch and it just goes away. It has to fade away. So it was literally about a good 4 day process to get through all of it, and no fun. But there was no way when I get migraines. It's like any bright light, any noise, anything is going to just make my head explode. And so it's literally going in the bedroom, shutting everything down, turn off the lights, close everything up, and tell the cats to shut the H up. So that's all you can do, and that's how it went. So anyways, that's what last week was about. Also, recently, I went geocaching with Corey Stevens.
Nice. That How's was, Corey doing?
He's doing fine. He is off. They do, and I knew I should have put it up on the on my screen here. They used to breed a very ancient breed of Egyptian dog. Matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the time that the Egyptians, when you see in the hieroglyphics, you'll see the dog symbols for that. These are those dogs. They are so cute. And so he came here to hang on. I'm getting a word from our information officer.
Basenji
is the name. Thank you, honey. Those are the name of the dogs. And he came to pick it up, and he literally had a 25-hour overlay. And he's like, hey, you're kind of close. Can I come bunk overnight? And because I couldn't see how he could do keep a dog for a day in an airport without going insane. So, yeah, he came over, went out, went to geocaching, and had a good old time. So he says hi. And, yeah, it was fun. It was fun talking with him.
Okay, good. Hi, Corey.
Yeah.
He's
doing good. He got they got a house. They did not end up going to Utah. They ended up getting a house. Now, they moved. If you know where Santa's village is in the North Pole, his town where he used to
vaguely
be.
Vaguely. I don't know him personally, so I don't know where he lives.
Well, some of us are like this, I'm just saying. But it's just to the left of where Santa's village is in the North Pole. It's in the northern part of Montana. And he moved from the town that is BF out there, out further to where the house that he was at.
He moved further than the
middle of the road? No. That's where he was, but he was so far into the tundra that he could get like 1 meg if he could on the internet. on a good day and the Boris Aurelius was doing what it was supposed to do. He moved actually back into the town, so he actually has internet now.
So
things are better that way, and he doesn't have to live off of, you know, sale meter.
Is it like 56K modem internet?
I'm thinking it might be.
He's like 20 miles from Canada as opposed to 5 miles.
Yeah, something like that. It's a little bit better. So he's doing well. He's doing well, but
still close enough to make a run to the border.
Yes, exactly. Which is, you know, being monitored now, as far as I know. But that's a whole different subject. So that's how it went. He's doing great. We got about a dozen or so geocaches and just had a good time. The pooch was adorable. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Little puppy. I think it was about 5 weeks, 6 weeks old. And just cute, smart. Oh, my God. Those dogs are smart. And that was it, man. Most of the time it ended up just sleeping on Corey. And going from there. So good stuff, and got some geocaching into boot. So good stuff. Mr. Scott, how about yourself? You dumpster diver, you?
Doing good. Just packing, you know, getting ready to put the house up in the spring. So you see the view behind me has changed a little bit since what you're used to. That's because I'm sitting at Jesse's desk now, because my desk, that's where my desk is. It's gone. And now there's a chair. You see, there's a chair and there's a table. And
it's very patriotic. I like it.
Right? Oh, there's a story behind that thing. I'll tell you off air. Behind that, trust, there's a whole story behind that. I've had that thing for like 20 years. So you can see all the boxes here, all gone. Everything in here is gone. So getting the house ready, you know. So we've been just packing and moving and packing and moving stuff and packing and moving.
Well,
stuff.
I saw the periscope of you dumpster diving for boxes. That
boxes,
was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We hit the gold mine on that. It was like a doctor's office. It's the gold mine because it was all these, you know, the boxes that the doctor stuff comes in. So they're really good, sturdy boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't stink. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but like when you move, you get the boxes from like Jewel and you get the wrong thing. We did it with the one right over. Can you see it? No, you can't see it. It's not here. We found one, a Chinese store one, and it was just reeked the whole car, reeked the whole garage, just of like fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never know. You got to do
fish
what you got to do.
Yeah. It was brutal. So I got a makeshift thing going here right now. It's all, everything's in disarray for the next, you know, 4 or 5 months. So we're living in chaos right now.
So when do you actually start staging?
We're starting. I mean, we're going to get the floors done and we're going to get the walls painted and all that. That's happening, you know, within the next couple of months, and hopefully get the house up by April and get out by summertime. That's the goal, and get back to where my kids are. So,
yeah, I probably won't be.
It's going to be, it's going to be a crazy. I mean, I was just talking to my dad last night. I had dinner with my dad. I haven't seen him in a while. And I was like, I've never looked more forward to August in my life, just because like the next 6 months are just going to suck.
Yeah, you know, they're going to be
crazy. So, but we'll get through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's been my life, just packing in boxes. Boxes are my life right now.
Wow.
That's my life. Yep.
Excellent. All right, Taz, how about yourself, sir?
It went back to raining here. So we are now officially the wettest rainy season in the history, recorded history of Sacramento.
Wow. Weren't you on fire just the other week?
Yeah, that was the summer. And so Sacramento has had its rainiest season, rainy season ever. And I'm up in the foothills, you know, a good 30 miles east of Sacramento, northeast of Sacramento. And we get 2x the amount of rain that they get. So we've been deluged with rain, and it's horrible. And then I came down with the flu.
Yeah, that's no fun. Believe me.
I came down with the flu. Actually, started last Wednesday night, so it didn't break my heart that the show didn't go on that night. I was starting to feel it, and then had the greatest 2.5 quarters of football in Super Bowl history.
The first or the last?
Someone said, hey, it's 2007. Are you kidding me? And then everything went to H-E double hockey sticks. So, you know, I blame it on the Cubs now. You know, it's like ever since the Cubs won the World Series.
Ever since the Cubs won the World Series,
everything's gone to heck. Else has gone to hell.
Yeah. Yep. It's
You know, you make a deal with the devil, that's what happens.
That's what I was thinking. Who made the deal with the devil?
Now, I do... Go ahead, Sarah.
I'll say, you had wet. Wellington had apparently the worst January, and bear in mind this is last summer, for 30 years. I'm quite shocked. I'm looking out the window, and there's sun, and there's no rain, and there's almost no wind. This is... almost, this just doesn't happen
in
Wellington on the summer. Actually, normally it does. It just hasn't happened this summer. But I just... last fortnight has been spent looking around car yards after car yard after car yard. And not even a freaking magnetic nano in sight. I'm getting grubby. But one friend really did take pity on me. He took us out. We went out on a mini number run a bit up the Hutt Valley and above a suburb called Dodra Park around some forest trails and pylon maintenance tracks. But the only problem was the possibility of showers, as they put it, turned into 20 minutes of thunderstorm and torrential rain with us up a hill in a pine forest. Yeah, no worries. We just sort of thought, well, that's all we can do. It's wet. We've got wet weather gear. There's lots of wood around, but it's all taller than we are, and we're not on the top of the hill. So we just sort of waited for the deluge to subside. And I got to a local event where I heard about some great plans for what might be a mega event in 2018. And over the long weekend that we've just had, I hired a car for a day. I was just getting so desperate. So I had this thing though, a sewing machine had more power. I could pedal uphill faster. But I went for the one day trip up to Whanganui, and it's about 3 hours up the road and back again. Managed to pick up over 30 cases and finally got through that 4,000 barrier.
Hey, congratulations.
It's been there nagging me for about 3 months.
Congrats.
I just noticed I just thought one could do me wrong. It needs an H in it. So I'll fix the show notes now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good stuff. Hey, so you got your keys, you got your mobile back, which when we get
to... I got a mobile. Put it this way. That is the car manual.
Oh, geez.
That is a manual apparently for the GPS.
With the car. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at it. It all appears in English. It's not. There's not a section in Korean and Arabic and all the other languages.
Well, just do like the rest of us do. We'll just throw the manuals in a drawer and we'll, you know, figure it out.
Well, I've held them. I have looked at them. So you don't read actually read them.
Oh, I don't read the manual.
Really?
Yeah.
I read it.
I literally
do.
And that's why I always end up with an extra.
I take it to the throne with me, and I leave it on there, and I literally read the whole thing, and then I put it back in the car.
Wow. That's
RTFM, baby.
Hey, Sarah, do me a favor. Is there a way you could, I don't know if this is the correct terminology, pop off and pack on? You're getting a little bit of Cylon. Is there a way you can go out and come back in?
You said pop off.
Yeah, I don't know if that's worse in Aussie or Kiwi or if it's not. Oh, she just gave me the finger and said, uh-huh. So maybe I might have said something wrong.
I totally got Taz hard.
I didn't mean it. It's the first two words that I could take. Well, it wasn't peace off.
The first two words you come up with.
So if I offended anybody in the world for saying that, I'll give myself a and go from there.
Sorry about that.
All right, let's get this little biz going while Sarah is coming back on. The coming up, the podcast roundup.
Is that better?
There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, I found out this is a week off since we wasn't here, so I can't do geocaching or geogearheads, but I can do the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. Tomorrow, Thursday, wife Amy and I are going to be discussing the art of geocaching camouflage. Yes, there is. Well, if your geocache gets found easier than it should have, then you don't have the artistic ability, and maybe you should learn some things.
Fair enough.
So they don't get muggled, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so it's geocaching camouflage-y that we're going to be checking out tomorrow. Also, please consider becoming a patron to our show. If you go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either our PayPal or our Patreon logos, and if you can throw us a couple bucks each month, we'd greatly appreciate it. Every penny counts, and it literally helps keep the show going. So for all the people that are doing it, thank you. Thank you so much. How you doing better? Now, did I just do a major faux pas for our friends down in New Zealand?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, good. Because pop off was the first thing that I came up, and then I'm like, wait a minute, that probably has some weird connotation I don't know about.
You've obviously got an even more warped mind than I have.
Okay, awesome.
And that takes some doing.
Good to know. Let's see. We don't have anything because we've got so much stuff. We're not even going to do news tonight because it all turned into we had one subject that we were going to talk about, and a bunch of things popped up, not off, during the week, and thought it would be good to talk about tonight. So we turned it into a cache of coffee for February. We did want to remind you, though, but if you do have information or subjects that you want us to talk about or questions for the host, be sure to send it to our GCPC mailbag. And it's literally gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. Send us your comments, your milestones, anything you want to bring up on the show, and we would be glad to bring that up. But we've got so much stuff. We're going to bypass that this week and jump right into our cacher coffee. Now, the first subject, I don't know how people are reacting. Matter of fact, when our own very own, this is what's nice about having a space-time continuum with our friends in Down Under, because Sarah actually was the one that told me about this, and we kind of got the news first. I don't know how it was relayed. I don't know what was going on and how it went on, but basically the response I was getting from people was, is this a joke? And so we did verify it. I got confirmation from Rock Chalk and actually a couple other reviewers, which is where the actual notice went through, confirmed it. So, if you don't know, Jeremy Irish, who's been the president of geocaching.com and Groundspeak and all the other companies that led in through that, has stepped down as president of geocaching and has put himself into the new role of senior vice president. And Brian Roth is now president for geocaching.com. So this is interesting for a bunch of reasons for myself. I don't know how you guys are, and that's what I'm going to ask you. What does this mean for folks? The letter basically that came out through this came from Jeremy, and he just basically said that he's stepping down. It's been 16 years as president, and he realized that running a company isn't his passion. He's an idea guy, and the game itself has grown incredibly large over the past 16 years. He wants to think of ways of making geocaching better and have some time and resources to work on smaller projects to help the core team improve the game. So he's, you know, God bless America. You get to do what you want to do, and if that's you feel that you need to do, by God, go do it. So what do you think?
I see it as positive. So number one, Brian is one of the co-founders. So you know, you're not bringing in someone who hasn't been around and is trying to marketize beyond what they're already doing.
Yes.
The place, but I think if Jeremy wants to take it and say, hey, let me go off and try to drive some of these projects that we've been wanting to do and kind of talking about possibly doing, but really haven't gotten off the ground. You know, I'm hoping that that's where it's going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sarah, any thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kudos on him for saying it's not what the role I'm having within the organization isn't fun anymore. So I'll go and put my strengths into what I've got a passion for. So I don't I don't really know. I guess we'll see how it plays out the next couple of months. Yeah. But, yeah. So we'll just have to wait and see. What I'd love to know what the new ideas are.
Right. Now, one of the things that he did had mentioned on here is a... and I'm trying to look in the part that goes on here. Basically, they wanted to keep this not on the complete hush-hush. They wanted to keep this kind of on the lowdown. They will not be doing any major announcements about this. This is by design from the way that they want to do it. And that they gave permission in the letter saying, if you want to blog it, if you want to talk about it, whatever, go ahead and do that. But geocaching.com is not going to do anything beyond that, and that he would not be doing any interviews, which is the first thing that I thought of with this, is I got to get him on and see what's going on.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah. And that's what's funny about this is that it just screams, I guess for lack of a better term, unprofessional. You know, not that he's unprofessional in any way, but like just this.
There's an oddity to it.
There's nothing professional about this.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems like he literally typed it.
Yes.
And literally sent it. You know, like, and who does that when you're the president of a company?
Yeah.
I could think of one other president.
The fact that there's a PS in there, you know, I don't mean to harp on the way he did it, but like it's just that made many people call foul on it, is because, you know, it doesn't look real.
Yeah,
you know, it looks fake.
And that a lot of people said,
I was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
not real.
Yeah. By the way, but yeah, I totally agree. It's an odd way of doing it, you know. And when you're the king, it's good to be the king, and that's what they're going with it. The only thing, just out of seeing businesses over the years, I've been in the software biz for over 25 years. When you see stuff like this, this does not present good vibes.
No, that usually means it's, you know,
something's
the old golden parachute kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's like it could be completely what they're saying here, and I'm not saying anything else. It's just the old Spidey sense went off.
See, mine didn't go off like that.
Really?
Because I think the company's doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're struggling, you know. Obviously, none of us have any idea what's going on there.
Not a clue.
State that fact. It's purely speculation
here.
But, like, I'm sure they're doing fine. They're making plenty of cash.
Yeah.
But the fact that I'm wondering, like, what... I don't know. It just seems.
I'll miss Jeremy Irons,
like picking on him, and
yeah.
So I'll miss picking on him.
Oh, Jeremy's a riot.
Yeah, so I'll miss that. But it just seems odd that.
If I saw this as an internal memo in some of the companies that I've worked in, I'd be brushing off the resume. Yeah, exactly. but I'm taking this. I'm taking this at face value,
yeah,
because it's, you know, it's really a small, more homebrew environment.
Yes,
and this is an email that kind of comes out of those more homebrew and less
corporatized,
yeah, environments.
Yeah, this is the 3 p.m. on a Friday with the entire company standing in a room drinking beers, saying, "Hey, by the way." Going off.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. And for people that don't know Jeremy, Jeremy has always been the quiet, in the back. Brian has always been the face for, you know, shy of Rock Chalk and the other people that have been in the actual position of being the front man for the company. Brian has always been, for as long as I've known them, always been the one to talk to about any kind of decisions dealing with geocaching.com. He would be the one that says, hey, great idea about this. Let's talk about that. Jeremy has always been in the background. He's the president, and he's got all the keys to the castle, but he's always been in the background for things. This may be a much better thing.
So much chance for nostalgia. Can you imagine a couple of years' time going, Oh, all the discussion boards and forum. Oh, it was so much better with Jeremy in charge.
I'm sure Brian hopes it differently. Yeah, it's gonna be. It's yeah. This will definitely be a switch.
It's gonna be a super game.
We're gonna totally change the game. Oh, here we go. So yes, this will be the turning point.
I'm gonna bring in great people. It's gonna be great people. We're gonna be great.
I'm gonna literally drain the swamp.
The game's gonna change.
All right.
Shouty cops.
See, I couldn't get away from it.
All the park and grab's gone. They're going away. Only the woods.
So anyways, that's what you got. Take it for how it's worth. I wish Jeremy all the best on all the things he does. And, man, come up with some cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can say. Go for it. Go for it. We've got, we're there for you.
Enjoy your retirement,
Jeremy. Enjoy how you do it. And just go for it.
No, we love you, Jeremy. Come on. Yeah. You're president of a game that I love for 16
way
years,
too many years.
God bless you.
Yes.
God bless you.
And good luck to Brian. And man, you got our number. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay, so this actually leads into the other thing that also roys the hairs on the back of my neck with this. We got a this has been something I've been really kind of like, the other thing to talk about tonight is out of the geocaching blog, there was a notice that came out. The classic geocaching app, not the new app or the new app, the classic geocaching app.
Yes.
is being shut down March 23rd.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I went, Actually, I put, I wanted to put something else, but you know me. Okay, let's get this straight. We have had acknowledgement that the geocaching app, and yes, the offline thing is wonderful. Thank you.
Wow. For the record, Chad, Taz, can you do me a favor? For the record, Taz, can you check real quick, see where the Cashly Android app GoFundMe page, what that's at?
Where that's at.
I bet you it's going to get a lot.
This is where this is going. If I've been told by lackeys that they use the classic app because they don't want to use the current app because it's not in the condition of which it should be, why would you shut down the only other app that's yours that does do what it's supposed to do?
And that's why Nick is a god.
Nick is my god.
It's only got $175 right now. Go up.
Oh. Yeah.
I gave him such grief on the show a couple of weeks ago that I had to put some money in.
Scott even said, "Did you see Sarah point money into this?" Yeah, that's funny. So yes, this adds the question: why cut off, the face to spite your nose?
I'll tell you why: because people aren't using the new app. That's why you've got to kill it.
I have a feeling that they're going to change the API, which breaks the old one,
right?
Or for features for the new one, and they don't want to modify it, and they're going to close it off.
See, I don't think that's worth. They're not programming off the same branch, though. It's a different set of code.
Yeah, but they're literally going to shut it off.
But it's the same API where they're communicating into the databases environment.
Right, fair enough. Okay. So, yeah, they're going to break it, and they can't fix it, so they're going to kill it, is what it sounds like to me.
That's what it sounds like.
And again, we have no basis on whatever's going on. All we know is they're shutting it down in a month. And it's like, that's all I use.
And if Brian or Jeremy or even Elias want to call in and
please
tell us
do.
The reason for it, please do.
Contact any one of us. We will have you on the show guaranteed. So,
I know it's going to piss off a lot of people, but Nick's going to make a lot of money off of that, and I'm happy for Nick. Good for him.
Yeah.
But it's not surprising because I think, like I said, I think the numbers just aren't there. It's kind of like, when an operating system goes to the new operating system, you know, it's like people slowly do it. And then you find out, oh, the old operating system is better, and that makes its way through the internet, and suddenly people stop bringing up the new operating system.
Yeah, but you can't get the classic app anymore. That's the thing.
No, but people still have it, and people are going to use it until they can't use it anymore. You literally have to shut it down. When I was working at the Pampered Chef, I guess I could say it's been a couple of years now, but like, but when I was working at the Pampered Chef, they had an old site and they had a new site. Nobody was using the new site because everybody was so used to the old site. They literally had to shut the old site down for people to stop using the old site. Wow. It's the only way to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to just cut the cord.
Now, I have not confirmed this. When I was talking with Corey when we were geocaching, we brought up CGO, and he said he stopped.
Wait. Did you say CGO?
Yeah, that's the other one.
CGO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put the emphasis on the right syllable there.
Ah, CGO, sorry.
Not CGO.
Tomato, tomato.
Yes.
Tomato, tomato.
It just sounds really weird.
Sorry. CGO.
No.
CGO. CGO. Okay. It's the one with the colon. Anyways.
What was it called?
Right next to the appendix. Anyways. He stopped using it because they had a bunch of technical difficulties. Now, I haven't actually used it in a while. I use the geocaching app when I go geocaching. And so...
Which one?
The Classic is what I use.
You still use that, really?
Yeah. The Classic, to me, is awesome. CGO was great, but it had started having some issues. Apparently, it's getting worse. I haven't checked it, so I'm going to actually check it out.
So you're one of those people who are in trouble come next month.
Yeah. Because I don't want to use the new app.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to start using MapQuest.
Maybe you use a GPS there, genius.
Yeah, well, that too. I can do that.
What's that?
I'll be back to GSAC and MapQuest. I mean, that's it's fine. But
printing out your maps.
Exactly. Hey, believe me, I can't tell you how many trees I'd knock down because of... back then in the day.
You really still using the Classic app, really?
Yeah, I use the Classic app because it works.
I know it does, but I stopped using it just because I knew I knew it was going away, so I'm like, I gotta like break my habit of this.
Yeah, I was this, basically the way it worked was I used CGO. I'm trying to say it the right way. If the Classic app didn't give me what I wanted, then I would go to that, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And but between the two, I would get what I needed to any situation that I went through it. Now it's like, I guess I'll wait till Nick gets done.
So this hurts you, man.
This does. This literally does hurt me. This literally hurts my geocaching through that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I've never used it.
I downloaded that sucker first day.
Apple to get this before this goes on? Apple sales are going to go through the roof.
Why?
Because everybody's going to go to iOS to get Cashly.
Right, yeah. I'm sure. Hey, look, you got bigger problems than that if you're buying an Apple.
No.
For one app.
Nah. Not that I haven't done that before.
Work's looking to shift phones to Apple's. I'm going to have to crawl blatantly to my boss and say, if I pay for the app and pay for the data, can I get Cashly on it?
There you go.
Why are you asking your boss?
Just do it. If he finds out later, then you're all set.
Our stuff is locked down so tight that you can't.
See?
So you talk to the IT department. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, my boss is the IT department.
Oh, yeah, well.
So sorry, I can't get around that.
All right.
You have to work somehow. But anyways, when I saw that, it's like, uh-huh. So I'm hoping, don't know, I'm hoping there's going to be a huge upgrade to the executive.
And he's hoping for a stay of execution.
I'm waiting for...
He's hoping the governor comes in and says, don't do it.
I don't have $200 million to give. I'm just saying. So,
ooh, nice one. Ooh.
I had to get mine in. Come on. I apologize. So, when I saw that, I went, this is not good. So, we'll have to see.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem, one of the problems with them when they tweak the API is it constantly breaks CGO.
Yeah.
So, CGO tends to respond very quickly to it, and within a day or so has a patch out, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to have to start finagling that way again. And that's Liviosa.
Jesse, well, I see Jesse loved it because she's on an iPhone now.
Yeah, but I was going to say.
She swore by it. She loved it.
Yeah. See, I use the geocaching app, not the classic, but the current one, as an emergency backup.
Yes. There you go.
Which one? The classic? Wait. Yeah, the other one, I have it for messages. That's it. Strictly for messages.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, again, whatever your folks' opinion are about geocaching.com shutting down the classic app for their standard app that they have now, yay. We'll go from there.
The baby app. We call it the baby.
Yeah. I wish I could have better feelings about it, but it's been how many years, and I'm still not happy with it.
It's horrible.
It is. So I'm just saying. You got to say it how it is.
It was awesome. There was nothing wrong with it. I shouldn't say nothing, obviously. There.
Yeah.
It was just a great app. It was. It was just everything you needed. It was a perfect app.
Yep. All right. So that's the other point that we had with here that made the hairs on the back of my neck go all fuzzy. Because
Andy had a bad week, man.
Lousy week with a freaking migraine. So yeah, that's how that goes. So let's go have some fun with some stuff. I came up with this idea. I have no idea where. Sarah, is that you putting all the new stuff in?
What stuff in?
The pictures.
Oh yeah, that me.
Oh, that's funny as hell. We got show notes. And let me. We'll jump into this. Basically, what it is if you had the ultimate geomobile, you had all the money in the world, what would you use to go geocaching with? And I started digging into this thing, and then I started finding other stuff, and that led into other stuff. And oh my God, it's funny because one of the things that we talked about, if I'm going to go geocaching, I want to take like an RV and then something that hooks onto the RV for the actual geocaching to go through. But I want a kick-butt RV. When I asked Amy, my wife, what she wanted for the actual geocache mobile part to go, she said, oh, yeah, Gravedigger. So, yeah, that's how this is where this is going. There's some serious, it may not be functional, but it's sure going to be fun. Kind of thing. So if you could imagine, we asked the host, if you could imagine your favorite geocaching mobile, what would it be? Now, some of the pictures that Sarah brought on, I do love the Segway. And there are geocachers out there that use Segways to go geocaching instead of bicycles.
Yeah, it only works on fairly flat terrain, though, I should imagine.
Oh, no, you can get a four-wheel. Or not a four-wheel, but you can get a heavy terrain off-road. Right. Yeah. And I mean, they're like kick butt. They're like kick butt driving, where you're almost gotta. I don't know how you strap yourself down on a standing vehicle, but
yeah, no.
But no. Well, that image is just sort of blows stealth out the window.
Yes, yeah. That's hey, if you're gonna hide in plain sight, that's the way to do it.
But that reminds me of. Darcy, I was talking about the rugby sevens that happens in Wellington, people getting dressed up as costume.
Yeah.
One of the best costumes ever I saw was somebody who was in a motorized wheelchair and he dressed himself up as Davros from Doctor Who.
There you go.
That's the way to do it.
The Daleks.
Oh, awesome.
Apparently the previous year he was Santa Claus with his sleigh.
Yep, there you go. Good stuff. Whatever works. All right, so some of the stuff that I had, this one is a I'm going to see if I can bring this up online and go from there. This is from the – and let me see if I can bring this up on the other side here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. There it is.
Ooh, hold on. Cash went live.
And let me bring this up. This is a little bit of this is roughing it for me. So this is the Wayfarer that they have on this. Now, check out, this is just a nice little thing. They've got some coaches that you might want to look into. When you go on a website and it doesn't even put prices, because if you have to ask, don't bother, that kind of thing.
Well, it's The two I suggested are very much like that as well.
Are they? The Zephyr is quite sweet. They don't say. They don't say. It easily tows up to 15,000 pounds. Then no, I cannot afford it. But like I said, if you had all the money in the world, they have got here. Let's see if it.
Dude, that's my retirement right there.
Exactly.
Seriously, now, that's my retirement.
Check this out. Now, for the people that are listening to the podcast, I apologize, but they actually have a 360 view where you can actually take a look. Look at this.
OMG.
Holy Jod. Jesus.
Wouldn't get around half.
That's the back.
Nah,
wow. Check out the fridge.
That's a full size friggin' fridge.
Yeah, full size fridge.
That thing maybe gets like 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, but who cares if you got that kind of money? The table. Check out the front. You got a.
That's a house. That's a house.
Yes, this is a house on wheels.
That's
the living room.
House.
The living room center.
TV. Yeah, in there.
Yeah, built-in stereo. Fireplace. Did you check out the fireplace?
Taz, do Zephyr 2017 Zephyr.
Yeah,
how much
yeah.
that cost,
Taz. Now look at the moon roof on the top.
You're probably talking $200,000 plus.
Hey, if you
can
got
you
the
drive
money.
That on a normal license?
Check out the
qualification.
The
on it.
Seats.
Yeah, no shit. Look at that thing.
The seats up front are cabin lounge chairs.
It's got a fireplace, dude.
It's got a fireplace.
Oh.
I mean,
it's got
really?
A freaking fireplace.
Is that not
that was
unreal?
Off by a factor of three.
Oh, are you?
31,000.
Okay, so save your pennies.
That's as much as a house.
Holy
okay,
cow.
That's like.
Yeah.
Look at the
yeah.
communication
it
center next
house.
To
that's
the
more
oven.
Than my house.
Wow.
But yeah, it
who's
and
buying
shower.
That? If you can afford that, you don't need to roam around the country.
Oh,
you can
man.
Fly around the country.
It's
why would
something.
You roam around the country?
Well, some people like it, but I'm just saying.
Buying that. Nobody's buying
so
that.
Anyways, that's one of the ones
that's
that
insane,
I isn't it
$600,000.
Yeah, but you get free, you know, coffee when you go because it grows it somewhere in a pod.
They better give me more than coffee when I go to the dealership. I'll tell you that much.
It better be those Civets coffee.
Yeah, so that's what I want to drive around the country with. Because Scott and I had talked about this before about when you retire, what are you going to do? And go off that way.
She made me swear. That's what she made me promise. She's like, I don't want a condo. I want a mobile home. I
yeah.
Go, get a mobile home.
Yeah. So that's the one that.
Spend our retirement driving.
Yes. Now, I'm sure this has probably got it built in, but one of the things when I went to CES a few years ago in Vegas, I got to get around Garmin and the different RV type GPS units that they have. The best one I had, really, it's under $300. They're a lot less expensive than they used to be. But the one that they had that's literally been voted GPSR 2017 best choice is the Garmin RV 760 LMT. And I don't have a picture up for it, but basically with it, it does everything, including the dishes. When it comes to it'll hook up. If you are going, there's certain circuits or certain commercial RV camps that you can go to all across country. And this thing will plug in and path for you. Okay, you want to get here by, you start on this date and you want to get here by this. These are the points that you want to stop off at these. And oh, by the way, we'll make the reservations for you and tell you how much it is. And all that kind of stuff. So it's literally everything you wanted to have for driving a massive RV that's $600,000. I'm that's thinking they may time. Have something as
and
good or better.
4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gallons to the mile.
It could be. But I then mean, again, if you've got that kind of money, really?
Miles to the gallon when you're going downhill.
Dude, you got that kind of money, you're not spending it on that. That's the thing.
Oh, God. Just saying.
That's insane. Wait, for the people who are at work right now listening to this, what's the website, Andy? The RV was called the Zephyr.
The Zephyr. And we'll have it in the show notes. It comes out of TiffinMotorHomes.com.
Yeah, if you're at work, if your
check
boss
it out
looking,
and just
pull that up
check
and just
it
look
up.
At that. Look at that inside of that
yeah,
thing.
It's
kind of insane.
It's, you go to really. Coaches And out of the biggest, baddest ones, go to that. The Zephyr. I'm just saying. For the ones who just want to get around town and go camping for the weekend.
I want to take a drive to Florida. but I don't want to leave my home.
Yeah.
I think I'll pay somebody else to drive to Florida.
Yeah. Or literally, you know?
You know, when I win that $500 million lottery, I'll buy one.
There you go. Just because you can.
Just because I can. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Let me bring up real quick, and we'll have all the show notes, the links to all this stuff in the show notes as well. This is the one. Once we actually get to the RV park and park our bus there, this is the one that Amy wants to go and do geocaching with. So that was the first thing that popped into her head.
It was the Gravedigger.
And
it's like got Cloak and Dagger's flag on the back.
Yes, it does. And it's rather...
Crossbones, isn't it?
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger. Yeah. And there's a whole... I thought there was one Gravedigger that's been... Because I remember as a kid, if you ever gone to a truck pull, they bring out the monster trucks.
Raise your hand if you've been to a truck pull.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Podcast. Come on, man. Detroit. Sunday. Oh, just saying.
Tez, you've been to a truck pull.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've been to a horse pull. I've been to a tractor pull. I've been to a truck pull.
Oh, yeah, just saying.
I was much, much younger.
Yes. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
I've been to a steam train event as a kid.
See, Scott, you're missing out. Man, back when the Pontiac Silver Dome was out, at the Pontiac Silver Dome. Sunday. Kids 12 and under are free, and we'll give you a hot dog. Here we go. But, yeah, it was funny. I always thought the Gravedigger, there was one. And if you actually, we have it in the show notes. There has been, as of right now, 34. I mean, he's had a couple crack ups. 34 Gravediggers over the years.
Really?
That's gone through.
Like seven or so active at any given time.
Yeah.
What's the big one?
Gravedigger's one of the big ones.
No, come on. That's not the like token one, the one that everybody knows about.
Well, everyone likes the dinosaur one. I can't remember which one that is.
I'm not Truckosaurus.
There was another one. But the funny part is, I did not realize
Somebody in the chat room will know.
Yeah, what's the biggest?
Come on, guys. What's the one that had the blue one, the big machine or something? What was the name of it?
Yeah, there was a bunch.
Damn.
But the funny part is, I checked it out, and the Gravedigger Museum.
There's a museum for Gravedigger.
There's a Gravedigger Museum. Oh, hey, you're down here in NASCAR. I'm just saying.
Go that stuff.
Yeah.
Come on, can't you just round and round in a circle?
Yes. Another left turn. Yes.
Know.
But the Gravedigger Museum is about 120
Bigfoot.
Miles
oh,
from me.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You,
there it
Bigfoot.
Is.
Oh, yeah. God bless you. Thank you.
Yes, Bigfoot. But yeah, the Gravedigger Museum is actually about 120 miles from my house in North Carolina.
You got to be shitting me. I'm
going to go there because it's over by Kitty Hawk and off that
way. I want you to get a shirt.
Yes, I will. I will get it.
The Gravedigger Museum.
I will get one. Cause, and it won't be for me. It'll be for Amy. She's the one who's the biggest fan for it.
She likes that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's from down here. Really? Come on. She's from down south. Another left turn.
Wait, so you go to so you've gone to these monster truck shows, right?
Oh yeah.
Isn't it just loud as hell?
Oh yeah, you feel it. You don't. Well, see, my
does that just constantly.
Yeah, my uncles. I was used to it growing up with my uncles, and that they were all into NASCAR. I mean, we raced. They raced in NASCAR, and they did the smaller stocks circuits as well in Michigan and Ohio and what have you. And I used to be in the pits with them. Why I never turned into a gearhead, I have no idea. Yeah, but I was in. I was in the pits.
You went the opposite way.
Yeah, and I was in the pits. I loved it. I met so many different auto racers over the years and just had a grand time. But yeah, when you're in there, you feel it. You don't hear it. You feel it.
It's the loud.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's why they wear earphones in those because
Yeah,
but you're sitting there in the seats. You're not wearing earphones.
It doesn't matter. It's you still feel it. There's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it.
You know, I could probably go my whole life and not do it and could be completely okay with
it. Yeah, yeah.
I'd much sooner go and see an air show.
It's even better, an air show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Wings Over Wire Rappers on this weekend, and I'm almost considering going.
No,
Cars don't do it for me, but aircraft do. I have no idea why.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me have one last thing, and then I'll let you guys talk about it.
Robosaurus, by the way, is not Truckosaurus. Truckosaurus was the Simpsons. Robosaurus.
Yeah. Now, if you don't want to go with the luxury RVs to go on, there are a different type.
Andy, let's slum it.
Let's slum it just a little bit. This is out of Safari Extreme, out of Global X Vehicles.
Again, guys, these are globalxvehicles.com.
And these are off-road campers.
What happened to a beat-up Volkswagen?
What happened to a freaking tent?
My folks used that. My folks had the VW van that had the tent. That's what they did.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, so that's what I did. Nice. Where do you think the Tyfy comes from? just
I will say they're still better than caravans.
Something.
Anything's better than the caravan.
Yeah, but I mean, check these puppies out. They're made to basically go anywhere in the in the world, any terrain. And if you go into it enough of them, there's some that float and can go over lakes and all sorts of stuff. And it's just nice. Tanks that
is that the poor man's
I don't know RV? About poor man. What's this, the one that I really liked, where was it? I'm trying to see here.
For anybody who's like, this guys, this is like, if you're at work right now, this is looking like, this is basically a box truck.
Yeah,
a
military box truck.
It has like a studio apartment in it.
Yeah.
Different paint and different paint jobs depending on what.
Yeah with woodsy paint jobs on the outside,
yeah, so that you can feel at home and go with that.
Yeah, so you can totally not blend into any surroundings.
Yeah, it's literally a box truck with a studio apartment.
Yeah, you go to a campsite with this, and the people are like, the survivalists are here.
Yeah,
right. But the inside's gorgeous.
He's hunting with an Uzi.
And that's for fishing. So, yeah. And yes, you can go geocaching with these. But, I mean, you know, this
one. What is that?
What?
Did you say a plunka? Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a bunk. There's all sorts of stuff. And it's
I didn't quite say that. I'll explain later.
All right, thank you for the grown-ups. But yeah, I mean, this is nice. It's not the it's not the Zephyr by any means.
You can't show me the Zephyr first, dude. You show me this. I'm like pish posh on this. Yeah,
but check out the wheels on this thing.
I want a full toilet. I don't want this.
Oh, see, now you're spoiled. Now you're spoiled. Hey, be happy. This has a shower. I mean, you know, come on. And look,
how much is that? I got to know how much that is.
I'm not quite sure. Maybe Taz.
Taz, come on.
I'll look it up.
I tried a couple pages and couldn't find prices because they're all custom. They're all pretty much custom. But
I'm just curious. Is it like 80 or is it like 200?
Oh, this has got to be 200 at least. I mean, look at this thing. It's basically one of those big how many ton trucks? With a camper on top.
Oh, that's not. No, you think that's like an 18-wheeler?
No, this is actually.
Dude, it's a box truck.
It is. It's a four wheel.
Yeah, it's a box truck.
I mean, this would fit where a standard RV space in length. It was about half of an RV in long, and the width looks about standard to a Hummer. So I mean, that's. But man, the wheel. This thing, you're not going to get stuck, and if you do, good luck.
That's your new home.
That's where your new home is. Just
we're here until the fall, kids.
Fill it in.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it has a low center of gravity to me.
No, it doesn't look like the thing would tip.
You can't run climb with that thing.
Yeah, but the body
on
that thing
looks too much like a tryhard. It's a sort of naff paint job on the outside of the fake woodlands. It just sort of.
Yeah, well, that's whatever custom they have on it.
Yeah,
but just amazing stuff. That if you don't want just the smooth road, you want to like climb a mountain or something. This is what you want. Yes. For the people that are in the extremes.
With the mountain painted on the side of it as well.
Yes. Very all right. Nice. So that's the stuff that I came up with. And
very nice.
All right. Who got next? Anybody can go.
Oh, we're still going.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to climb a mountain, but I'm going to use a military-grade Humvee. So forget the 10-mile hike. I'm going to do a 1-mile rock crawl. In my military-grade Humvee that's not going to flip over on me when I'm going at a 45-degree angle. And I'm going to have a turret with a 50 cal on there, mounted on there, so when
in
the Leos
case of chipmunks.
Come, they can, you know, they can drool over it. And it'll also be used for any FTF disputes.
And if you can't reach the cache.
So
if you can't reach the cache at the top
missile,
of the hill.
Yes.
Just shoot the tree down.
I'd go with a tow missile, but I draw the line at personal missile systems.
Everybody's got their limits. Everybody's got their limits. Wow.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, I still like my option of for the amphibious caching.
Uh-huh.
And it is actually a real car, and you can buy them if you've got all the money in the world, but I have no idea how much. The Aquada. It can tow a water skier. It can do 100 miles per hour on the road. It can do 30 miles per hour on the water.
What is that in knots? I don't think that in knots.
I have not the foggiest.
Like, that could be fun. Slow for all we know. Is that fast in the water? I have no idea.
Oh, my God. Let me bring this up for you, fine folks that are watching the video. If you listen to the podcast, go back and watch the video.
AQUADA.
All right, I'm going to bring it up here for.
Sure you could Google that, and I'm sure there's a picture. Are you talking about like the 85 Mustang that's in the water? Is that what you're showing?
What, the thing is towing the water skier?
Yeah, it looks like an 85 Mustang.
Yeah, let me.
It looks like a body.
Doesn't it look like an 85 Mustang?
Yeah.
Well, it might. No, GibbsAmphibians.com.
Yeah, spell that. Gibbs and GIBBS.
We got it up on video now for the people that are. All right, I have to admit.
That doesn't look like a. Okay, that doesn't look like one.
I have to admit, for the bass fisher in me, then again, if you've got a car like this, do you really want to go bass fishing?
Who's going to drive their car into the lake?
Well, that's what it's
built for. Quadrota.
You know, if you've got the cash that's out there on the island, that would be beneficial. I've got to admit
that's just ridiculous. That
it cuts down
ridiculous.
On ferry costs like crazy.
That is absolutely ridiculous. I thought that's my only. What is that?
Don't
a
you just
in
want
the back of that?
She's like,
go back to the back side of the car, dude. Go back to that picture. Holy mackerel, looked like a swastika.
Where on the front? No.
No, go to the back.
Oh, no, that is the logo for the Aquada.
I think it's a swastika.
Jeez. They have the Germans, you know, I'm just saying.
It's a Kiwi foot thing.
Is it really? Is it a Kiwi?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I think it is.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
Not as absurd as a jetpack as well.
Yeah, well, you got to get where you got to get.
But no,
right
I think...
Is that picture?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I still think that the ultimate Geo Wagon would have been Kit from Knight Rider. Remember that series? Years and years ago?
I would have known. I never watched such trivial
apparently
things.
I'm only in my 20s. I don't know what you're talking about.
Apparently, it was a modified 1982 Pontiac Trans Am.
Yep.
With numerous special features, says she, reading from Wikipedia, such as turbo boosts, allowing quick bursts of speed or jumping over obstacles, the ability to drive itself.
Oops.
Uber does that now. It doesn't impress me anymore.
Yeah.
Well, this is the 80s, okay? Oh. A front-mounted scanner bar that allowed Kit to see.
I wanted that in the front of my Dodge Monaco so bad.
Michael, I think you'll find the case on the third fence post.
What, you're talking
fantastic AI.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be the ultimate Geo Wagon, but I wouldn't mind a James Bond Aston Martin, but hey, come on.
The Aston Martin, if you drive over a pebble, shakes like a son of a gun, so I don't know if that's exactly what I'd
Who
use
cares?
For Aston.
It's cool.
Yeah,
okay,
it looks cool.
Fair
come
enough.
On.
Yeah, if we're going to go for good looks.
You want Knight Rider because of David Hasselhoff.
I was going to say.
Because he comes with the car. So.
He does. And you better have a shower with you for that, because he showers like 18 times a day, or at least used to.
You obviously know far more about him than I do.
No, I read when he did the when he did all the car show circuits and the stuff that he used to do and go. One of his things that he had is that he had to have a well designed and well placed shower so that he could take, because he was a clean freak. He liked that all the time. And
Team G Winchester says Kit would be the perfect geo wagon to help solve those puzzle caches.
Yes. Yeah. And then it'll sneer at you as it figures it out.
The information is there.
Michael. Michael, it's only a two and a half, Michael. Why can't you solve the puzzle?
Yes.
Yeah, that would... Or the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Or a TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that would solve the... TARDIS would solve the first of five
TARDIS
problems.
I would do. TARDIS would be fun.
And because it's bigger on the inside, there's no problems with storing.
And the reason why I'd use the TARDIS is this. If you missed out on the first to find, you just go back a couple hours and
try it again.
Try it again. Yeah. Oh, you missed it. Oh, shucks.
And your sonic screwdriver would have every tool of the trade you could ever need in it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. No.
All right, good stuff. So yeah, let's just say when the imagination starts running wild because of geocaching, and now I'm going to go and get into my, you know, standard car that I have now.
It's no Zephyr.
It's no Zephyr.
It's going to go back.
It is.
That's no, not fair.
Yeah.
I finally got my replacement geo wagon, so I'm happy.
Did you say what it is? Hang on, let me bring it up.
Yeah, you're making us bring it up.
An Impreza.
XV.
Wow.
XV.
2012, so...
All right.
Previously owned by somebody who had more money than sense, so it's got the GPS, it's got the tow ball, it's got all the other things that we'd want on it.
Awesome. Very good. Well, I'm glad you're going to be safe.
All I've got to do is work out how the hell to use it.
Right.
Wow, that is something. All right, well, good stuff. And like I said, let us know about what you think your favorite geocaching mobile would be, and we'd love to hear about that. Use your imagination. It's a lot of fun. Zephyr. Okay, so anyways, thank you for stopping on by. I'm going to just sit here.
I love you, Zephyr.
Maybe if I say please three times.
Well, GoFundMe.
Yes.
Get Andy a Zephyr.
Andy needs a Zephyr. They'll think it's some kind of disease. It'll be great. I just... Oh, my God, he's got a Zephyr.
Andy needs a Zephyr.
Oh.
He needs a cure for whatever he's driving.
Yes.
Zephyr relief.
Zephyr relief.
You ask the dealer how many miles of a gallon, he's going to be like, does it matter? It's a Zephyr.
Yeah, it's exactly it.
It doesn't matter.
Yes. Jeez.
Your main goal is driving from gas station to gas station. That's what you do when you drive the Zephyr.
With a 1,000-gallon gas tank in the back. It's underneath the hot tub, which is just poor planning on my part. Anyways, thank you, folks, for stopping on by and checking out the Geocaching Podcast. This is a good episode. Had a good time. Let's wrap this puppy up. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube. And the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. The show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.